Emporia Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Today I want to speak to you on a particular descriptor or name that we see in the Bible given to our Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. You know what that means, right? He is. He is with us. You know, it's a simple. It's a simple statement, but it carries a lot of depth into it. And today I'm just going to say a few things about what it means to us in a practical way that Jesus is with us, that God is with us through the person of Jesus, that God is with us through the person of the Holy Spirit. God is with us through the person of the Father. He is with us. He is with us. The whole Godhead, all three in one. God is with us. This is extremely important that we understand in our lives and take it to practical sense and to be able to live it and to know the awareness of the presence of Christ in our lives, the awareness of the presence of God everywhere we go, everywhere in anything that we do. Doesn't matter that God is there, right? And when you think about it, you know, God is everywhere. And of course, children have these ideas, right? You know how children can make you look like a fool, right? Well, in a Sunday school class, I read about little Mackenzie, and the teacher was talking about Jesus and him being everywhere, and Jesus is everywhere. Is Jesus in school? Yes, he is in school. Is Jesus at home? Yes, Jesus is at home. And all the kids were very excited until all of a sudden the teacher says, I mean, you think about it, is there any place where Jesus isn't? Here comes little Mackenzie. I know a place where Jesus is not. And she's like, uh-oh. Okay, so Mackenzie, where is it that Jesus is not? In a tomb. Right? Gotcha. He is not in a tomb. That's pretty amazing. That's what you think about it, right? Of course, Jesus is everywhere, but for all practical sense and for our benefit, he is not in a tomb. Amen? Hallelujah. He's on the throne and he is God with us and he is here. As long as he makes your heart his throne, you know that he is with you. Now, I want us to look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. Just a simple verse. But actually, in verse 22, if I could go back, because I should have qualified it. Because this is a verse that is a fulfillment of another scripture. Okay? Of another part of scripture. And in verse 22, it actually says, now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Now, he's referring to Isaiah in chapter 7, verse 14, and we're going to look at that in a second. But check this out. This is Matthew in chapter 1, verse 22. This is to fulfill the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child. She will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. His name shall be Emmanuel, which is translated, and it means God with us. See that? Now, in Isaiah chapter 7, 14, this is hundreds of years before Jesus' birth, and it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, a sign, a sign. A sign. If you remember the shepherds while they were in the fields, God or sent the angel, and the angel said, and you will see this sign. God giving signs. He gave the Magi a sign, the star. But he's saying here to Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Well, actually, through Isaiah to King Ahaz. And he says, behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Whoa. Now, let me give you a little bit of context of what's going on here, because if I say something today, and whatever I bring to you today, and I say, well, this is the fulfillment of what was said by somebody else, then I need to go back to that somebody else to make sure that we make it right, because that's the origin. And the origin of this particular scripture is in Isaiah chapter 7:14. Now, what was happening is that King Ahaz, who was the king of Israel, was facing a bunch of enemies and war, and they were facing a very dark time. And what happens? They're like, we don't know what to do, and they're real. I mean, this is bad. But then the prophet shows up and says, hey, the Lord says there will be a sign of victory. Victory. Don't worry about the war. You will experience victory. And the sign will be that a virgin will conceive. Now, there's a lot of debate out there on Isaiah whether he's talking about a virgin or a young lady or a teenage girl. And there's a lot of debate out there. But when we see Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23 says that this is the fulfillment. You know that a lot of things in the Old Testament are just a shadow of what we see today or what we have experienced or what we see in the New Testament. And the fulfillment of all these shadows now coming to life and seeing the real deal. So Jesus comes over and he is born of a virgin to fulfill this prophecy. And of course, Jesus comes to give us what? Victory. Jesus comes just like in Ahaz's time in a darkened world, is still in a darkened town, in a darkened Israel, in a darkened world. He comes to your darkened soul to bring light and to give you the victory. That's the Jesus I'm talking about. He comes in, and the reason he can give you all that is because he comes in to be with you. Because he's all that, and a bag of chips, and even more. Amen? He is all that. Now, here's the interesting thing that we can talk about then. If God is with us, then how are we going to face 2023? The same way we should have faced 2022 with Jesus. The same way we should have done in 2021 with Jesus. The same way it should have been done all along with Jesus, because he is with us. So let's talk about that for a second. What does that mean when we talk about Emmanuel, God with us? You know, the first thing that we can say is very simple. You see that he became like us. When it says that God with us, that means he became like us, like you and like me, okay? So this is very interesting, because in the Bible we see Jesus called by a couple of titles, Son of God and Son of Man. Which one is it? You want to take a pick? Don't, because he is both, amen? Like I said, he's all that and whatever, and then some. Right? He is a son of God, but he is also son of man. Well, of course, we know the story. He is born from the Spirit, son of God. He is born from Mary, son of man, human. That's what we're talking about. Emmanuel, that means that God is with us. How did he come to us? He came through flesh, but he came in the Spirit. So he's both. We see it in John chapter 1. Who is this Jesus? Who is? He is the Son of God, but he is God. In the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was what? God himself. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. You see, he is the creator. He is the author. He is the source. There you go. This is the Jesus we're talking about. John describes him as God himself. And now we see that if you continue reading chapter 1 in John, it says, and he is the light, and the light came to us, and the light shined upon man, and all of that, and Jesus dwelt among us. That's him. Now in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 15 through 17, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. For by him all things were created. All things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything and anything that comes to exist in our being depends upon Jesus. He is the source and he is the sustainer and he is the finisher. Amen? He is all that. And that's the God that came to us. That is the Son of God that made himself the Son of Man. You see, I want you to think about this, because a lot of times when you think about why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? The primordial reason, the biggest complaint from the Jews was that Jesus claimed that he was God. You don't claim that. You don't do that around us. You say you're God? No, you're not. Well, yes, he is. That was the chief complaint from the Jews, that he claimed to be the Son of God and the Son of Man, and that he is God himself. Now, he is the Son of God, but he's also the Son of Man. Came in the flesh. Now, you remember the disciples, they all had their particularities, right? They all had their own character and different things, and Peter was very risky, very gung-ho and all that. John was very loving. But then there's, Thomas, the doubter. And then there is Philip. I know we have a bunch of Philips here, but it's not what I'm talking about. So don't take it personal. But there was one of the disciples named Philip. And he had a little problem. And the little problem was that he's like, I want to see God. Show me God. Prove to me. Show me. Show us the Father. Now, I want you to remember, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And remember, in John chapter 14, he says, you know what? Do not fear. Everything's going to be all right because I'm going to leave. I'm going to go. You're not going to have me for long right now, but I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you guys so that wherever I am, you may be with me forevermore. I'm going to go make you a condo. In heaven, you're going to have this nice apartment with a great view of God. And we're all going to dwell together. It's not an Olympic village. It's the heavenly village. Okay? This is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. And I'm going to go prepare a place for you. But do not fear. You're going to be okay. Now, he's saying all these things. And Philip comes to him in verses 8 through 9. This is John chapter 14, verse 6, of course. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But don't worry, I'm going to go build a place. And then in chapter 14 right there in verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that's enough for us. Wow! Here's Jesus. He's been walking with them for, who knows, almost 3 years now. And Philip says, hey, I tell you what. Let's quit the nonsense. We've had enough of this. Show us the Father and we'll be okay. You know how when you tell people like, okay, quit beating around the bush. Just give me the nitty gritty. All right, I got it. Just tell. You know? Oh my God. Here's Philip saying, just show us the Father. Don't worry about anything else. From that, we got it, right? Now, what reason could Philip have to say that to Jesus? Now, Jesus answered to him, and he says, Philip, you want to see the Father? Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me? You see, Jesus didn't say, have you been this long with me, and you don't know the Father? He says, have I been with you this long, and you don't know me? But Philip wasn't asking about him. He was asking about the Father. But Jesus equates himself with the Father, right? He says, you have not come to know me yet. You know, because if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And you still say, show us the Father? C- Can you imagine Jesus talking to Philip at that moment? It was like, pow, drop the bomb. Poof, mind blowing. It'd have been like Recito says, that's it. Wow. Oh my goodness. So the reason why what was wrong with Philip? Well, I think Philip asked this because he clearly saw the Son of Man. He saw the Son of Man. I don't think that he's doubting as much as that Jesus is the Son of God. He's like, you know what? Okay, so you're the Son, but show me the Father. I want to go a little bit higher. Take me all the way up there, right? He had clearly seen the Son of Man, but he had not seen him as the Son of God, as God himself made flesh. You see, why did Jesus then become a man? So that he could relate to you, relate to me. He can relate to us. You see, the Son of Man, he can relate to you. He can relate to me. We can relate to him. He is someone that you can count on for 2022 and 2023 because he is with us. Amen? Now, here's the thing. Not only he is like us or becomes like us, he is also with us. You see, one thing is to say Jesus became a man and then secluded himself and went to a whatever big mountain up in Malaysia and locked himself up and became the guru up there with nobody around. Have you ever heard of people doing like that? You know, making all these journeys and going and locking themselves off or emptying themselves and getting rid of the world. Well, why'd you come to the world? No, Jesus came to be with us. You would find Jesus in every party. You would find Jesus in every crowd. You would find Jesus everywhere in town because he came to be with us. And guess what? He came to be with them. He came to be with you. He came to be with me. And he promised. Remember what he said before he ascended to heaven. He said, go make disciples. And at the end of this chapter in Matthew 28, he says, and I will be with you every day. What is that? All the time. Every day unto the ends of the world. You know what that means? Every time and everywhere, all the time, anywhere. He is with you no matter what time it is. He is with you no matter where you are. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, he promised, I will be with you every day. I will be with you everywhere you go, all the time and everywhere. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. Can you believe that? When Jesus says, I will, he will. You see, you can believe his promises. In him, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. So when Jesus says something, our response should always be amen. Yes, yes, and yes. He promised and he will be there. We're not alone. We will not be alone. And if you feel alone and you don't want to be alone because it happens, you can turn and he's right there. Because he will be there every single time, every time you turn. You know, it reminds me of the story of Mary and Martha when Lazarus had passed away. What was the first thing they said to Jesus? If only you would have been here. And Jesus is like, oh, I got here late? No, he wasn't late. You know, Jesus shows up on time and out of time. Jesus will show up every single time. You see, Jesus came to Mary and Martha and says, I'm here now. Well, where were you? I'm here now. Well, if you would have been here, I'm here now. You see how we can miss Jesus sometimes? Complaining about where we thought he wasn't there. And forget that he's there right now. Where were you? I'm here now. Amen? And he's here for you now. Jesus physically wasn't there for Mary and Martha when they thought he should have been there. But you see, that doesn't mean that he wasn't with them. And the same thing for us. You see, Philip has experienced the physical presence of Jesus, but the spiritual presence is still kind of lacking. And same thing with Mary and Martha, it's still kind of lacking. Is it lacking for you too? Because Jesus isn't here physically like we are, but he spiritually is. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So if you are alone or you feel alone, it's by choice. It's by choice. If you truly believe in Christ and his everlasting presence, then if you feel alone, usually it's by choice. Somebody can make you feel one way or something, circumstances or people or whatever. But at the end of it all, when you come to realize the truth, Jesus is there. He became like you to be with you. You see, when we join people in friendships, I mean, you choose to be with people or not to be with people, right? You choose your friends, and they say choose wisely. You choose your mate for life, choose wisely. You do that, right? I mean, you can choose to be alone too, but who wants to? God wants to be with you. That's why he became like you. And we join all these people in friendship and everything because there's some like-mindedness. There's something that we like that they like or something that we have in common. And we do that and we trust flawed and sinful people in relationships. And we trust that they're going to be there for us when we need them. And sometimes they fail us. But here's the perfect Son of Man and the Son of God, who is Jesus, saying, I will be there for you. And here we are doubting him. Here's God becoming like us and coming to us, willing to be there for us no matter what, and gets rejected all the time. Why? Because we can't see him. Because we can't see that he is there. Well, in John chapter 14 and verses 16 and 18, a little bit further in the same chapter, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Did you hear that word? Forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. What a promise from Jesus. You think you right now are going to be orphans or going to be alone because I'm leaving? You're getting a double whammy. Because once I leave and come back, you'll have the Spirit and you'll have me. As a matter of fact, you have a triple whammy because you'll have the Father too. You are not alone. No wonder he's called Emmanuel, God with us. And he meets us wherever we are. He's going to meet you wherever you are. You see, Jesus always shows up in the best of time, at the best time, but he also shows up at the worst time. He shows up every single time. Don't you forget that. He'll meet you wherever you are and whatever's happening in your life. Just like at Christmas, Jesus came to be with his people, the people of Israel in Bethlehem. We know that. He came to Bethlehem to meet them in their darkness and in their despair. But he will come and meet you in whatever darkness or despair you may find yourself. And not only that, he uses whatever means necessary to call your attention for you to see him and experience him, to relate to you. So that you can understand in a way that you can recognize however you need to see, whatever you need to hear, God is willing to do that for you too. You know, I mentioned some of this on Friday night when we were talking about Jesus and the Magi. What were they? Well, it was believed that they were astrologers. And they looked at the times and the stars and stuff. So what did God use to speak to them? The stars. God communicated to them through the same thing that they were used to. These guys were constantly, their lives were consumed by gazing at the stars. And God uses the star to bring them to Bethlehem. to see the Emmanuel, God with us, being born. You see, God knew that if he spoke to the Magi through the stars or with a star, they would understand. That's what they needed. That's the message comes to you the way you need it. But that's not the only way. You see, the shepherds, what were the shepherds doing when the angel came and spoke to them? They were watching the flocks by night. They were tending the sheep in the dark, in the fields, in the cold. But what happens? God comes to them and tells them, hey, follow the star. No, because they didn't follow stars. I want you to understand that the angel shows up and speaks to the shepherds in a way that they would understand, relating to sheep, believe it or not. The angel says, you will go, and this is great news to you and the people because a Savior has been born in Bethlehem, and you will go and see this sign. And this sign is that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth in the manger. You see, this is important. This is something that I didn't think about until I was prepping for this Christmas. Did you know, of course, and I knew this part I knew, that the shepherds that are out there watching the flocks by night, they're keeping and guarding these little lambs, these little sheep that are going to be used for the sacrifice. Now, if you do remember, the sacrificial lamb had to be perfect. No wrinkles, no blemishes, no bruises, no cuts. These little lambs had to be perfect. And in order to stay like that, the shepherds had to protect these sheep, these little lambs. And did you know, or do you know, how they protected them? Precisely. What they found in the manger was a baby in swaddling cloth. What the shepherds did to protect those sheep from bruises was wrap them in swaddling cloth. Make sure they didn't get hurt. Wow. You see how God speaks to you in the way that he can relate to you and you can relate to him and how important it is. You see, do you see what God does? You see what God does for you? How is he speaking to you? You see, God made himself like you and me. And God is with you and God is with me. God is with us. And he is someone that you can count on. 2022 and 2023. Now let's go to the last part of this message. Because not only he became like us and he is with us, but he is for us. See, that's amazing. I'm so glad. Because one thing is to have somebody next to you. Another thing is to have somebody next to you that is for you. You know, I always, I like this song, and I know you guys probably like it too, called The Blessing that we sing around here. The Lord bless you and keep you. But there's a part of that song when we're singing it that sometimes it gets to me. You know why? Because he is for you. 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 When I hear Angelica singing, he is for you. He is for you. Okay, I know he is for me. Let's get on to the next part of the song, right? But how many times do you need to hear it? He is for you. He is for you, not just for you to keep, but for you because he's got you covered. He is for you, not against you. So if you truly think about it, if he is with you in whatever you go through, and he is, then if you truly believe that God is with you, then that means that everything that happens to you, God is mindful and present in. God is right there in everything that goes on in your life. Whatever you faced this year, God has been there. Whatever you will face next year, he will be there. Emmanuel, God with us, is for us. And if he is for us, who can be against us? How beautiful, right? You see, God showed up and he let Ahaz know. Almost 3,000 years ago, you will see the sign, and this is your victory. Emmanuel. Let me tell you something. That's how you live victorious lives. When you know that God is with you and he is for you. He gives us the victory. You know what that means? That God shows up at the right time and at the worst time too, like I said before. So have you ever noticed that people have more boldness when they have somebody next to them or somebody for them? I always joke around, but it's the truth. And I've told you. You like roller coasters? I mean, I like them, but it's not like, whoa! I'm in love with roller coasters. Now, one thing I do is everywhere I go, I ride any and every roller coaster. I don't care. Well, I do care. But I always tell people, I'm a coward for roller coasters. I am. I see them and I'm like, oh, my God. Can't believe I'm going to get on this. And my wife is like, you don't have to ride. And, oh, yes, I do. Well, go ahead. No, not unless another coward is standing next to me. And usually that's my daughter. We're both cowards, but we encourage each other. And I become very bold when another coward is next to me. Thank God Jesus is not a coward, and he is next to me. You see, he wants to give you boldness to go through whatever roller coaster you may go through in life. You've seen it. Children get empowered when another child goes with them. Children get empowered when a parent goes on the roller coaster with them. Or whatever you face in life, you may do better when somebody who really is for you is next to you, right? And Jesus is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you, okay? So be encouraged. 2023 is coming. Whatever challenge you may face, whatever is unknown, whatever difficulties, whatever you may face, Emmanuel, God with you. God is for you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And we hear the songs out there and like, I'll be home for Christmas. And we are here. Right? But don't worry, you get to go home after this. I promise you in a couple minutes, you can go home. But the thing is that when you think about it, why do you want to go home? Or why does the singer says, I'll be home for Christmas? It must be the tree. It must be the lights. Or maybe even the food. Well, I hope it's not all that. I hope it's the people, right? To be with somebody. And I want you to think about that because you want company? Well, Jesus is with you. You're not alone. I want you to think about it. I'll be home for Christmas, and here comes Jesus. The first Christmas, he don't have a home to go to. He didn't have a place to go to. But he was in good hands, right? Jesus didn't have a lot of company for Christmas. Maybe Joseph and Mary by themselves? Oh, yeah, he had company. He had a bunch of animals around him. There were more animals than people when he was born. Imagine that. Who kept him company? But actually, you know, how about us? You see, the thing is that Jesus may not have had many people for him at the manger. He had Joseph and Mary for him. They took care of him. But maybe Joseph and Mary were not as aware as later that they weren't there for the child. The child was there for them. And you know what? Jesus wants you to be there for him when he wants to use you. But I want you to remember, don't count yourself as being the one. He is the one that is for you, with you, every single time. You see, wherever you find yourself, in a barn, in a cave, you see, Jesus is there with you. Whatever is dark, Jesus is there with you. And you can say that Jesus came to be like me because Jesus came to be with me. And Jesus came to be with me because Jesus came to be for me. Like me, with me, and for me. And you can take that all the way through 2023 also. Jesus wants to make your heart his home. He wants to be home for Christmas. He wants to be with us. That's home for him, being with us. And that's what Christmas is all about. But he went through all. Not only he's there for us when we go through all of our circumstances, he also went through all. He went through everything you can think of or imagine. He went through everything. And I want to finish with this verse here. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 and 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, you have him. He is present. You have him. He became like you. You have him. He is for you. Emmanuel. What a gift we've been given. You see, this Christmas, you may go home, or if you haven't done so already this early, or for Hispanics, it was last night, because we can't wait till the 25th. Actually, we wait till midnight. At midnight, most Hispanic families start opening gifts because they can't wait. They get desperate. We need to be desperate for Jesus. But anyway. But you're going to get gifts, or you've already gotten gifts, that you're going to be like, wow. And then you're going to get gifts that you're going to be like, whoa. Let me make sure I keep the paper on this one. Because this is a re-gift. Have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand. I don't want you to feel bad. And if you're out there watching, then you can raise your hand all you want to, because we can't see you. But God is watching. It's because, you know, you ever get a gift and you're like, whoa. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my God, thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too. And then you go home and... Now I got to think, who am I going to give that to? And they re-gift it, you know. There are some gifts that you're going to get, but you see, what do we do with Jesus if he is the gift? Do we wrap him and say, well, let somebody else have him? Well, that I don't need. That I don't want. Yeah. And you know what? There's going to be a lot of people on Christmas that open the gift of Jesus, but then they'll wrap them up again and put them aside, put them in a closet, stuff them there, or just simply let anybody else have it. And we do that because of our selfishness, our ignorance, our disbelief, and we put them away. But guess what? He is still in the business of gifting himself. He is still Emmanuel. He is still God with us. He is still God like us. He is still God for us.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.